If you have your Bibles, and I'm sure that you do, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is one verse in particular that I want us to look at tonight, but I want to begin reading in verse 11, but our focus tonight is on verse 17. The title of this message is The New You. I want to begin reading in verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. And what that means is we no longer size up people by their position in life or by their outward appearance. Now that we are in Christ, we see with spiritual eyes, and we want to see people as God sees people, either in Christ or out of Christ. So he says in verse 16, and therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. And Paul remembers his time before he was converted on the Damascus Road. And he knew of Christ only through fleshly eyes. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. And now here's our verse. Therefore, and I'm just recognizing, here's another therefore verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There is a television program of which I do not think I've ever seen more than 5 seconds of. Let me first say this. It is called Extreme Makeover. The show depicts just ordinary looking people, men and women, who undergo an extreme makeover of their appearance. This involves plastic surgery, exercise routines, weight loss, new hairstyles, and an entirely new wardrobe. And each episode starts with this rather simple-looking person who is somewhat overweight and with an unflattering hairstyle out of the 50s and uncomplimentary set of clothes that makes this person look rather plain. And during the course of the episode, this person is given a redo. And then each episode ends with the participant coming out for a formal presentation to family and friends to see the extreme makeover of this individual. As this person who has been entirely transformed is presented, the camera is first on their friends, her friends, his friends, and the reaction. And they're in shock. They can't believe that it's the same person. And then the camera presents this person who has undergone this weight loss and hair restyling and new repackaging and new clothes. This person comes out and you cannot even recognize that this is the same person. Not a bad idea for some of us, myself included. But far greater than an extreme makeover on television with superficial changes to the outside is what God does in the new birth with real, deep, genuine changes of our nature and of our life on the inside of our soul. In a far greater way, that's what God does when we're converted. He gives to us an extreme makeover. And we become an entirely new person in Christ. And though we look in a mirror and we look the same on the outside, in reality, in our heart and in our soul, we are dramatically changed. And it's nothing short of a miracle of the transformation that has occurred in our lives. God takes sinful human beings and completely changes them from the inside out. It's a supernatural makeover that restores the beauty of the ruined image of God within us. God has taken off our old dirty rags of self-righteousness, and He has clothed us with the spotless robes of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we now are a new person in Christ. So tonight, I want us to look at this intensely positive verse. And I want us to see three things. I want you to note first our new position. Because this verse begins by saying, if anyone is in Christ. Now, this is not an automatic makeover. It doesn't say if anyone is in church or if anyone is in a Bible study or if anyone is involved in ministry. This says if anyone is in Christ. It does not say if anyone knows about Christ or admires Christ or is near to Christ. It says if anyone is in Christ. This is the new position. And to be in Christ means that you are a believer in Christ and that you have committed your life to Christ and that you've repented of your sins and put your entire trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, none of us started out life in Christ. We all started in Adam, and we were born in Adam, and everyone on the face of the planet is in one of two positions. All of humanity is either in Adam or in Christ. There are really only two people that God sees, Adam and Christ, and every one of us is either in Adam or in Christ, and we all started in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam all die. And in this state in which we entered this world, we existed in Adam, in spiritual death, in sin, in darkness, in fallenness. And because we were once in Adam, all that was true of Adam was true of you and me. When Adam sinned, we sinned. Because you were in Adam, in the garden. And you were in the loins of Adam. And when he sinned, you sinned. And when he fell, you fell. And when he was subjected to death, you and I were subjected to death. And when he was condemned, we were condemned. When he was cursed, we were cursed. Romans 5, verse 17 says, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because, listen to these next two words, all sinned. You and I sinned some 6,000 plus years ago, before we ever even entered this world. There was a mark of sin and condemnation against us, and we were in Adam. And you might say, well, how can it be if one person sins that sin would penalize everyone else in the human race? I would imagine most of us here tonight, saw a football game yesterday, and one person jumps off sides, and all 11 teammates are penalized 5 yards or 10 yards for another infraction, or even 15 yards. You see, there's a solidarity on a team. And when one member commits a penalty, everyone is subject to the infraction. And so it is in the human race. And in the economy of God, Adam was our representative. And what was true of Adam became true for us. And nothing can change that. It's the way that it is in the economy of God, and in the mind of God, and in the plan of God. But now, we are in Christ. And what was true of Christ is now true of us. And His perfect obedience to the law during His sinless life has become our perfect obedience to the law. And His righteousness has become our righteousness. And His position before the Father with perfect acceptance has become our position before the Father with perfect acceptance. And His inheritance has become our inheritance. And the Bible says we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are in Christ, where He is, we are. We have already been raised and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that we have that is of grace and of value is because we are in Christ. And we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not on the basis of us, it was really in spite of us. It was because we were chosen in Christ. Because of what the Father thinks of Christ and what Christ would become for us and do for us. We were predestined in Christ. We were redeemed in Christ. We were forgiven in Christ. We were made alive in Christ. We've been raised with Christ and seated with Christ. We are sealed in Christ, and we are recreated in Christ. All of these truths are in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. And because I am in Christ, and because you are in Christ, His life is now my life. And His fullness is my fullness. His joy is my joy. His peace is my peace. His strength is my strength. And the reality of all that Christ is now is ours because we are in Christ. And so let us realize tonight and remind ourselves of this basic Bible truth that we entered this world in Adam. And we were fallen in Adam, and we were condemned in Adam, and we were cursed in Adam. And the death of Adam was our death, because through one man, sin entered into the world because all sinned. But now that we are in Christ, all that belongs to Christ is ours, because we are in Christ. This is our new position. Do you see the fullness of what has been bequeathed to you because you are in Christ? There is no more favored position that you could ever be in this world or in the world to come than to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to have everything. To be outside of Christ is to have nothing except death and condemnation. So this is our position in Christ. As I said this morning, 164 times in Paul's 13 epistles, Paul uses this tiny little prepositional phrase, in Christ. And it is one of the keys that unlocks understanding of theology and doctrine, especially the doctrine of salvation, because everything that has come to us has come because of our new position in Christ. Second, I want you to note our new creation. Because he goes on to write in verse 17, if anyone, and aren't you grateful for the anyone, male or female, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, civilized or uncouth, if anyone is in Christ, now note what he says, our new creation. He is a new creature. The he refers obviously to the one who is in Christ, and it is emphatic, and we could say, and only this one is a new creature. He is present tense now. It's not something that will take place one day when we stand before him, but already present tense right now, he is a new creature, or it could be a new creation. There are two different words that are used in the original Greek for the word new that just come to us in our English translation by this one word. But there is a Greek word that for new that is called chronos, like a watch is a chronological instrument that tells time. And it speaks of new in time or recent in time. But that's not the word that's used here. And the word that is used here is an entirely different word that means new of a totally different kind. New in quality. And what he is saying, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a brand new person, unlike anything that he previously was. Now, you have the same body, you have the same job, you have the same address. But there is an entirely new you on the inside. It's an extreme makeover on the inside. And it's called the new birth. And there is a new life that is created by God inside of us. And just as God created the entire universe out of nothing, what is even more astonishing is that God creates a new person on the inside of us. And we're not the person we once were. We're an entirely new person. We're not the same as before. It can be put this way. We were formed by God. We were deformed by sin. We were conformed by the world. We were reborn by the Spirit, and we're being transformed by the Word. We've become a new creature in Christ. And I want to give you a few headings now under this, of this extraordinary change that has taken place on the inside. I just want to remind us and re-emphasize to us this dramatic new change, this new person we've become on the inside. Now, what is this change? Well, first of all, it's a spiritual change. It's not a change in us physically, like Extreme Makeover, where the outward packaging changes. No, it's a spiritual change, which is the real you. It's your soul on the inside. It changes who you are at the deepest level of who you are and what you are. It is a spiritual change. Second, it is a radical change. It's not a small change. It is a dramatic change that re-alters and reconstitutes really who you are and what you are on the inside. It is so radical that you have gone from death to life. You have gone from your old self to an entirely new self. We could put it this way, it is absolutely revolutionary. The change that has taken place on the inside. Third, it's comprehensive. It is a comprehensive change. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, every inch and every ounce of you, you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's just not a few little compartments of your life. It's every aspect of you. Your mind has been changed. Your thinking has been changed. Your affections have been changed. Your feelings have been changed. Your will has been changed. Everything about you on the inside, intellectually, emotionally, volitionally, has been changed. There is no secret closet or compartment left in your life that has been unaltered by this new birth, by this change. Fourth, it's an instantaneous change. It's not a process. It's not something that takes place over the summer. It is at a specific moment in time. Now, some people cannot pinpoint what that exact moment is. They can narrow it down to a parenthesis in time, and they know it was during this particular time span that they were birthed into the kingdom. And that's the way it happens with some people. But nevertheless, it did happen at a particular point in time when you crossed the line, when you went from being outside the kingdom till you were brought into the kingdom. I just flew to Africa. You know that from this morning. And it took me 2 to 3 hours to get into the country of Zambia. Once I landed in Zambia, because they neglected to tell me I needed a visa, a work permit to get into the country. And it took me quite some period of time. And I stood there with my passport. And on my passport is a picture of me. And they look at the picture and look at me. And there is a date of my birth. And it's more than just the year. And it's more than just the month. There is a specific day that I was born. April the 13th, 1951. That's when I was born. And by the analogy with the new birth, there is a day that you were born again. There was an instantaneous change that took place inside of you. You may have walked into church unconverted and then walked out regenerated, but it's an instantaneous change at a specific point in your life. There is a dot on the timeline of your life, and that dot designates when you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Fifth, it's an individual change. Meaning it happens to us individually, personally, one at a time. There are no twins in the kingdom of heaven. There are only individuals who have been born again one at a time. I love twins. I have a set of twins. And you can enter this world by being twins. You can enter this world by being triplets. But you don't enter the kingdom of God by being twins or by being triplets. It is an individual birth that happens one at a time. Sixth, it's irreversible. It is an irreversible change. Once born, never unborn. We are eternally sons of God and daughters of God. And it can never be reversed. You can never be born and then unborn. And that's one reason why Jesus has chosen this analogy. Seventh, it's a sovereign change, meaning it's what God brings about. It should be of note, the beginning of verse 18. the very next verse. It says, now all these things are from God. And it refers back to all of these things. But the closest antecedent to all of these things is verse 17. And to become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and to become one who is in Christ, this is from God. It's not God and us. It's God and God alone. I've asked you before, what did you do to be born? The answer was not much. You were birthed. You were brought into this world. And so it is spiritually. It's something that God and God alone does. It's not syncretistic, where it's God and us. It's monergistic, where it is of God and God alone. And then eighth, this change is a noticeable change, that it produces fruit in our lives. And the change in our lives is obvious to others. They see the change in our attitude. They see the change in our priorities. They hear the change in our mouth. They see the change in our walk. It is a noticeable change that God brings about. So this is our new creation. And what a glorious thing it is to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. To have a new life. For this new life to come. And that leads us now into the last main heading that I want you to see, our new transformation. Because he goes on to say in verse 17, a negative and then a positive. First the negative, the old things passed away. Then the positive, behold, new things have come. One without the other would be very ineffective in our lives. If all we did was be dismissed from the old, that would only bring us back to neutral. And if all it was is just new things have come, but we have still retained the old things, that's like driving your car with your foot on both the gas and the brake at the same time. One will cancel out the other. And so there must be the passing away of the old, and there must be the coming of the new in order for this life transformation to take place. So let's look at the negative. He begins with the negative, and it's a glorious negative. It's not a bad negative. It's a wonderful negative. He says the old things passed away. When he says the old things, it's a Greek word from which we derive the English word archaeology. Just old dead bones that people dig up. And he is saying that your old life and who you once were is ancient history and it's buried. This word, this verb passed away, it means to vanish, to perish. And the idea is that your old heart of stone is taken away. Your old values are gone. Your old pursuits have perished. Your old loves and desires are no longer dominant. Your old beliefs have been buried. Old priorities are passed away. Old passions are gone. Old practices and old plans, they are a thing of the past. This does not mean that we do not ever sin again, nor does it mean that we never fall or fall back into an old isolated sin. But it does mean that these old dominant affections are no longer dominant. And we're no longer the person we once were. And we no longer live the life that we once lived. that is over. And then he gives the positive. He says, behold, new things have come. And when he says, behold, he's really drawing our attention. The word behold carries the idea of, look at this. Don't miss this. This is stunning. This is amazing. This is extraordinary. Behold, new things have come. And when he says new, he uses the same word again for new that he used earlier, that we become a new creature. And he says new things have come. Things that are entirely unprecedented in our lives from before. Things that we never experienced or knew before. These new things have now come. And the verb tense for have come is a specific tense that means it's something that happened in the past with continuing results into the present. It's not just an acquisition of new things that once happened years ago and it just remains in our past. But for every one of us, it is continued into the present and it is brought forward into the present and it will be brought forward into the future, not only in this age, but in the age to come. That is what he is saying. And the new things that have come refer to not only an entirely new life within us, but we become a new person. Let me see if I can explain this. We have new eyes, and we can now see the truth. We once were blind spiritually. Like John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. And God has given you spiritual eyes now that you might behold spiritual truth and see it and grasp it. We have new ears. Where once our ears were deaf to the voice of Christ and to what God was saying to us, it was like water on a duck's back. But now we have new ears that hear and respond to the voice of God in His Word. We have new feet. We now walk in a new path and we walk in a new direction. Where once we walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3 tell us. But now our feet are glory bound. We're now headed in a new direction. And our feet that once went astray from God are now directed toward God and toward the things of God and towards the house of God and toward the people of God. And this is where our feet is now taking us. And when our feet takes us into the world, it is to tell others about Christ. And we have new hands. We now embrace new things. We now take on new tasks with our hands. We now lay hold of new enterprises and new endeavors that were once not true. We have a new mouth. We now sing to the Lord with a new mouth because we have a new song within us. And where there was once cursings and blasphemies and vanities that came from our mouth, we now, with a new mouth, sing to the Lord a new song. And our mouth is now made new. And we have new lips with which we bear witness of Christ to others. We now tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ because we have new lips. We have a new heart that has a new pulse and a new heartbeat for the things of God. All of this is because new things have come. And on top of that, we have a new mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ. That means we now think like Christ. And we size up things like Christ. And as we look at the world around us, we have a new paradigm. We have a new set of lenses before our eyes. And with our mind, we now think differently. We have a new perspective. All of this is because new things have come. What a dramatic makeover. What an extreme makeover the Lord has done. It's more than bookkeeping in heaven. It's more than God moving things from one side of a P&L to another, that we now have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Glorious as that is. But God has done a work inside of us. The new you is the real you. And what a wonderful thing it is that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. And the old things are passed away. God has buried what you once were, and it's ancient history. As C.S. Lewis has said, the devil is a grave digger, and he desires to dig up the past. But God has buried what you once were in Adam. And that's why when we baptize people in the baptistry, that is why we put them down in the water, and it signifies that they are buried with Christ. In your old life, you have died to what you once were, and you now are, your old life is buried with Christ. And when we bring the person up out of the water, it signifies that they have been raised to walk in newness of life. The water doesn't do that. The Spirit does that. The water simply is emblematic of the spiritual change that has already taken place. So we have died to our old way of life. Look at verse 14. He says, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. We have died. When Christ died, we died because we were in the mind of God in Christ. And when he says one died for all, that all is the same all as those who have died to sin and died to themselves. It's not teaching a universal atonement that one died for all people in all places at all times. No, this all is the same all at the end of the verse. All those who have died to self and died to sin are the all for whom Christ has died. It's a very important understanding that we would have. Otherwise, when it says one died for all, if you take that to be a universal atonement of Christ, then you end up with universal salvation. That everyone in the world has died to sin and died to self. And just look around. That's far from the truth, as we see what's going on around us. And so in verse 15, he says, he died for all, referring to all who died, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again, not this qualifier, on their behalf. So this is the new life that has come. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for Christ. We live for God. We live for the things of God. We live for the kingdom of God. And we no longer are as we once were in this world, self-absorbed. And he tells us in verse 16 that we have new eyes. I've already spoken to that a few minutes ago. But look at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. We don't see people the way we used to see people. We used to see people by whatever worldly standard or worldly measurement Whether they were rich or poor, whether they were good looking, not good looking, whether they were influential, not influential, whether they're smart, whether they were not smart, whatever was the paradigm or the standard by which we sized up people, we no longer see people now that way. Oh, we see the outward packaging, but we see the real person. They are either a believer or an unbeliever. They are either in Christ or outside of Christ. That's how we now see people. People are either with us or they're our mission field. One of the two. So he says in verse 16, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him in this way no longer. When we become new creatures in Christ, everything changes. Across the board, it's a broad, sweeping, comprehensive change that takes place. God does an inside job. Someone has said God puts a new man inside the coat without ever having to unbutton the coat. You just become a new person in Christ. So tonight, as we have looked at this verse, let us rejoice in our God that he has done such a dramatic change. Let us rejoice that God has given us children who have been changed. Let us rejoice that God has given us parents who knew this, that we have a spouse that has experienced this. Let us rejoice that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, even here tonight, who have had this dramatic, extreme makeover from the inside out, and that God has not left us the way we once were, but that he has now made us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Has God done this in your life? Has God made you a new creature? Are you in Christ? Can you truly say the old things have passed away? They're buried. That's a thing of the past. Can you say there is a new life that has now come? There is a new vitality for God, a new zeal, a new passion for the things of the Lord. That everything about you is of a new kind. And even as your body is growing older, and even as the outer man is passing away, nevertheless, on the inside, the real you, you are growing stronger and stronger in the things of the Lord. And with your eyes, you're seeing things even more sharply now. And with your ears, you're hearing the voice of the Lord through the written scripture all the more acutely. And with your mouth and with your lips, you're desiring to speak more and more of the things of God. And you want to be with other people who are speaking of the things of the Lord. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to be in Christ and to be those who have experienced this authentic, extreme makeover. What a glory it is to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. May the Lord give us understanding and enlightenment into his word tonight. And may our hearts never grow tired of hearing this essential truth.